I think it was 2 weeks ago, I was at this spot, and it was Father's Day, and I didn't have a Father's Day message. Today is Independence Day, and I don't have an Independence Day message. The message is the believer as a disciple. Matthew 28. The believer as a disciple. Matthew 28, verse 19. Let's read verse 18. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Teach all nations. Some of your Bibles read, make disciples. And this defines for us what a disciple is. A disciple is a pupil, a student, a learner. Every believer is and should be a student, a pupil, and a learner. Luke chapter 6, please. Luke chapter 6. Verse 40. Luke 6 and 40. The disciple is not above his master, his teacher. Everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. So I'm going to give you that in a different translation. A scholar is not above his teacher, but as he is trained, he will be like his teacher. Every believer is a student. Are you studying, beloved? Every believer is a pupil. We send our children to school, we expect them to learn. We teach them in the home, we expect them to learn. And God expects us to learn. Let me ask you, child of God, do you know more today than you did last Sunday? In other words, have you learned in the last week? We are expected to learn. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God. And many of your Bibles say imitators of God. Do you know that most of the things that we learn by imitation? I remember when we were studying French. We had he was a linguist, Mario Pay. And we had notebooks. He said, put away those notebooks. We don't need them for 2 weeks. You didn't learn to speak English from a book. You learned to speak English by imitating your parents and your friends. And so it is, we learn by imitation. I remember in the course of training, I was assigned to a certain area. And I said to the man under whom I studied, how am I supposed to learn this area? There are no books on the subject, no literature on the subject, no papers on the subject, nothing on this. How am I supposed to learn? You know what he said? Watch me. We learn by imitation. I remember again at a head and neck clinic. This man brought his three children to the clinic. I was assigned to this man and his three children. And I introduced myself and said, "What is the problem?" He says, "My children are tongue-tied. They talk funny." I examined them. Didn't see anything remarkable, anything abnormal. Then I asked each of the three children to speak and to say a word. Do you know what? They talk just like your father. That's right. He said they talk funny. Well, they were talking like him. They imitated the father. And there is that poem, "I'd rather see a sermon than hear one any day." Most of us know that. Because your tongue may go too fast, but I can always learn from watching you. We learn by imitation. And there is that poem, "My Neighbor's Bible." I am my neighbor's Bible. He reads me when we meet. Today he reads me in my home, tomorrow in the street. He may be relative or friend, or slight acquaintance be. He may not even know my name, but he is reading me. And beloved, they're reading you on the job. Your neighbor is reading you. Story is told of a missionary in the Philippines. And they had a series of meetings. And at the end of the meeting, they gave out tracts and gospel literature. And there was one man there, one local man, he wouldn't take anything. And the man conducting the series went to him one evening and said, "Why won't you take some of our literature?" He said, "If you are doing what the literature says to do, I don't have to read that. All I have to do is watch you." They're reading us. And they are watching us. Disciples are followers. And they imitate the ones that they're following. Turn with me, please, to John chapter 1. Verse 43. John chapter 1, verse 43. Are we learning, beloved? As believers, we are disciples, and as disciples, we are expected to learn. John chapter 1, verse 43. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, "Follow me. Follow me." Chapter 14. Verse 8. Now remember in chapter 1, the Lord said, "Follow me." This was early in the Lord's ministry. Now chapter 14, verse 8. Philip saith unto him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us." Jesus said unto him, "Have I been so long with you, and you don't know me?" He was a slow learner. How fast are we learning? 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Philip was a slow learner. Early called to follow the Lord. And at a crucial time, he didn't realize that the Lord Jesus Christ was very God. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. another group of slow learners. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto fleshly, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with strong, solid food, heretofore you were not able to take it. Slow learners. Hebrews chapter 5. Verse 11, of whom we have many things to say, hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. Now, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need of someone that teach you again, slow learners. God expects us as his people and as disciples to learn. We follow in order that we may learn. Now a few thoughts on learning. How does one learn? Acts chapter 17. Few thoughts on learning. Acts chapter 17. Verse 11. Better start at verse 10. The brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures. That's how you learn. You've got to search. You might remember I told you some time ago, my first day in medical school, and I knew one of the fellows that was in his third year, knew him from college days. And I said to him, so what's the secret of studying medicine? How do you go about learning this thing? He said to me, Garns, dig. That's how you learn medicine. And that's how you learn the Bible. You dig, you search, until you find. Ezra chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7. We've looked at this before. But you know, you can't look at the scriptures too often. And you may think that you know a verse. Read it anyhow. Read it again. Ezra chapter 7. Verse 6. This Ezra went up from Babylon. He was a skilled scribe. Skilled. How did he become skilled? Verse 10, he prepared his heart to study the law. You want to be skilled in the word of God? You've got to study. Study. Story is told, this was back in the 17th century before we had electricity, of one student who was outstanding in the class. He was always far ahead of all the others, and he was always at the top of the class. And someone asked him, how do you explain the fact that you're all together reading the same books, having the same teachers, and you are so far ahead? And he said, they spend their money on alcohol, I spend mine on oil. They used oil lamps in those days. And instead of buying alcohol, by the way, that's still a bad habit among many school children, in many schools. These big schools, so-called. That weekend alcohol. And I think of a very sad case. This young man went on one of those weekend holidays. drank and drank and drank, and someone somehow put in, I'll just call the name, our sister isn't here, she'd give you further. What we ordinarily drink is ethyl alcohol, see? But there is a methyl alcohol, which is a poison. And on this weekend, binge, this boy drank methyl alcohol and came to the clinic on Monday, stone blind. Be careful. I don't have to tell you that. We don't go to weekend parties, do we? We don't spend our money on alcohol. We spend our money on oil, electricity. But if we are going to know the Word of God, we've got to apply ourselves. Verse 10 again. Ezra prepared his heart to study. Many of your Bibles say seek. The better word is study. You've got to study if you're going to know the Bible. And to do it. Why? You've got to do it. You just don't study it to have head knowledge. You study it to do it. And then it says to teach. You do it first, and then you teach it. Acts chapter 1. Do you know that that was the method of our Lord Jesus Christ? Acts chapter 1, verse 1. Acts 1, verse 1. I'll do as our brother did. I'll wait for everybody to find me. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began, what? To do and to teach. He did it first, and then he taught it. We are to study, we are to do, and we are to teach. Daniel chapter 9. If we are going to be successful pupils. Daniel chapter 9. We looked at this recently, but let's look at it again. As I said, you can't read the Word of God too often. You know one of my favorite parts of the Bible? The first 11 chapters of Genesis. And the first lesson my teacher taught me in Sunday school was about Adam and Eve. And I still find that fascinating. Old, who yet ever knew. Daniel chapter 9, please. Verse 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by the books. Which books? What books did he read? I understood by the books the number of the years whereof the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years. You know what book Daniel was reading? Jeremiah chapter 25. And he understood that there were to be 70 years. And he couldn't quite figure out these 70 years because in natural terms, the 70 years were almost there. And he prayed. And God revealed to him the meaning of this prophecy of the 70 weeks. One of the most basic prophecies in the Bible. If you understand that prophecy, then you can well understand all the others. Daniel was studying the Word of God. Are we learning? Are we studying? Last Sunday I mentioned to our brother George and Craig, who wasn't here. You've all heard us speak of Dr. Rose. I remember the first time I sat at breakfast with him. You know what he said? Glad to meet you, brother. I have been studying the book of Isaiah for 57 years. And this morning, in going through Isaiah, I saw something I never saw before. That's how you learn book. 57 years, and yet he saw something he never saw before. Matthew 11 and 52. Matthew 11. The study of the Word of God. Matthew chapter 11. Verse 52. Then said he unto them, therefore, every scribe which is instructed in the kingdom of God is like a man that is an householder, who brings forth out of his treasure things new and old. And that's what our brother was doing. 57 years on one book, and he found something new. And yet there are things in here that are old. And I like those old things. From time to time, I listen to the antique shows on TV. It is amazing to me what those funny-looking things are worth. They're old. This is old, yet ever new. I have told you about a brother. Came to New York from the Caribbean. Had a series of gospel meetings for 2 weeks, every night. One text, John 3:16, and every message was different. Can you do it? That's a brother that has been digging. I have spoken from John 3:16. I only have one message. He had one for 14 different nights. It's in there somewhere. But if I'm going to learn it, I must dig and search and research as a pupil of the Lord. We've all heard of Isaac Watts. Before we do that, let's read again in the book of Matthew. Nope, 1 Corinthians, I'm sorry. First Corinthians. Chapter 1. Now we must be careful how we read the Bible. You see, you must read what the Bible says. Don't read what we think is in there. Verse 26, 1 Corinthians 1, 26. You see your calling, brethren, that not many or any, which is to say, that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty men are called. Doesn't say not any. I'm so glad it doesn't say not any. God has his wise men. And Dr. Rose was one of them. Isaac Watts was one of them. Let me read you a little about Isaac Watts. He wrote over 400 hymns. At age 5, he studied Latin. At age 9, he learned Greek. At age 11, he learned French, and at age 13, he studied Hebrew. Now, that's a brain, isn't it? And we're so glad that God has some of those among his people. And he has some of them right in here. Men and women in this very small circle whom God has gifted tremendously. You don't know about them because we don't talk about them. But God has blessed us wonderfully. Not many, but he doesn't say not any.
Now, who is our teacher? Who is our teacher?
When the Lord was here, and wherever in the Gospels you read the word master, that word means teacher. He was the teacher when he was here. Who's teacher now? Gospel of John, please. Chapter 14. Verse 26. But when the Helper, the Comforter, who is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you what? All. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. Chapter 16. Verse 13. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. What a teacher. And he is God. You remember in Acts 5, when Peter spoke to Ananias and Sapphira, he said, you've lied to the Holy Spirit. And two verses later, he says, you've lied to God. The Holy Spirit is God. What a teacher. And what is our textbook? This is our textbook. Without error and without fault, requires no revision. Do you know? I'm not in practice today. But if I were to practice using some of those things that they taught me, they'd put me in jail. Those things, well, they're wrong. They taught me some things that we don't believe today. I've mentioned this one to you. I'll mention it again. It sounds good, but it isn't true. Ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny. That's what they taught me. And when you go home and you say, Mommy and Daddy, ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny, they say, boy, you're learning something. You're learning nothing. It's wrong. No errors. Beautiful book. Cherish the Bible and search and dig. There's treasure there. The psalmist, we don't have time for it. In Psalm 119, go through all the verses that tell of the treasure that the psalmist found in the Word of God. Great treasure. And then you know another thing about the Word of God? It'll thrill you. I've told you before, I'm going to repeat it. My friend Lloyd, now with the Lord in heaven, he worked at R.H. Macy's in New York City. He went to the locker room during lunch hour, reading from a testament. I know exactly the testament he was reading from. Schofield's Testament, the Gospels, and the Psalms. He didn't know anybody was in the locker room. And while he was reading, he said, wow! And there was a fellow in there and he came up, are you all right? He said, I'm fine. He saw something in that testament that made him say, wow. Has that ever happened to you? Have you ever been reading the Word of God and jumped up? Well, beloved, if you haven't, you're missing something. There are thrills in this book. They require patience and study. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. You get that in Nehemiah. You get it in Psalms 143. A perfect teacher, a perfect textbook, then why do I know so little? My fault. Failure to study the Word of God. Let's look at a text that we've been looking at, 1 Thessalonians. Tells us a little bit about our Bible. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 Verse 13. For this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because, notice the because, when you receive the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth. This Bible is the word of God. There isn't another book like it. Walter Scott, a man of God, the one who wrote the treatise on the book of the Revelation. He lay sick in his library, and his nephew came to him, and Walter Scott had many books. And he said to his nephew, bring me the book. His nephew said, but uncle, you have all these books in there. Which book do you want? And Sir Walter Scott said, there is only one book. This is it. Do you cherish it? Do you study it? And beloved, study systematically. Don't study hit or miss, because you'll miss more than you'll hit. Have you heard the story of the young man who wanted a word from the Lord? He opened his Bible and put his finger down and read. Judas went and hanged himself. He said, no, that's not what the Lord wants me to do. And he turned again and put his hand down. Go and do thou likewise. No. Put his hand down again. That which thou doest, do it quickly. And that's going to happen to you if you read haphazardly. This Bible is to be read in an orderly fashion, either subject by subject or book by book, depending on the teacher, the Holy Spirit. I'm just about finished. Oh, by the way, which is the best version of the Bible? There's so many versions. Which is the best one? Which is the best version of the Bible? King James, Old King James, New King James, American Standard, New American Standard, Berkeley, Rotherham, Darby? Which is the best version of the Bible? The best version of the Bible is the believer who is living the Bible. That's the best version. And each of us is capable of that. The best version. We are disciples. We are pupils. Oh, I'm missing something here. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, please. A young man who grew. We want to see growth in our children, don't we? God wants to see growth in us. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 19. So the singers Heman, Asaph, and Ethan were appointed to sound with cymbals of brass. Asaph, an instrumentalist. Chapter 16, verse 7. Asaph was first an instrumentalist. 16 and 7. Then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph. He was an instrumentalist. Now he's reading a psalm. Psalm 50. An instrumentalist, reading a psalm, Psalm 50, the superscription there says what? A psalm of Asaph. Now he's writing one. That's progress. That's development. That's growth. An instrumentalist, he was given a psalm, and now he's writing a psalm. Psalm 73. What does the superscription say? A psalm of Asaph. And Psalm 73 through 83 were all written by Asaph. That's growth. That's development. He started out as an instrumentalist. David gave him a psalm to read, and there he is writing psalms. Growth and development. Beloved, we are disciples. We are pupils. Are we learning? Are we developing? Are we growing? Hymn number 527, please. Teach me thy way, O Lord. Let us sing this prayerfully that the Lord will teach us. We are pupils. We are learners. We expect our children to learn. God expects us to learn. Shall we pray? Holy Father, with joy, rejoicing, we bow in thy presence divine. Again, we want to thank thee for who thou art. We thank thee for salvation. We thank thee for our Lord Jesus Christ, who took our place and bore our sins in his own body on the tree. And now as his disciples, his pupils and his students, we would learn of thee. We would follow thee. Bless us now as we dismiss. Take us home in peace and safety as we give thee thanks. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.